Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com, here for the first time in the year of our Lord 2019, blessing your beautiful ears, sweet listeners. This feels good. Do you feel different, Trevor?
Elegant entrance there, John. Elegant.
I felt like it.
It was the word.
Rolling out the red carpet for their ears here in the year
you
2019.
You really did. You rolled, you know, new year, same us.
It's very,
let's be real about it.
Except I think even more aesthetically pleasing, if you can be that
you know,
way on
that
a podcast.
Is the goal every year, my friend.
That is.
Just to increase the aesthetic allurement of this podcast, which is odd because it's not a visual medium, but you guys get
already using the words like allurement. This is 2019 is off to a great start. This is tremendous.
2019, get your thesauruses out, folks.
Let's hope the football is better in 2019, and by the football I mean the college football, because I know Florida won, so
come
you're
on.
Happy. But here, I'm just not totally thrilled with here's the big Saturday of college games, and Clemson wins 30-3 over Notre Dame. That game was a snooze fest, and Florida just destroyed Michigan. I mean,
yeah, we did.
Yeah, I don't know. You're happy about that, obviously.
Yeah, I am.
I'm happy too, because it was kind of a. It was like a meta. It was like it felt good to like, and I didn't even say anything to him, but it felt good to like be vindicated for like the weeks of arguing with Kyle Krabs in the Slack.
Is Michigan still ahead of Florida? I'll take my answer off the air.
Let us know, bud. Let us know your thoughts. Very curious to hear where
final
you would
top
rank 25 Michigan.
25 poll. He's still gonna have Michigan over Florida.
Told us Florida was a fake good team and that Dan Mullen was a chump. I don't know if he said the last part, but it sounded good, so I attribute
things
it to
you
him.
Hate to see that.
Things you really hate to see. UVA 28-0 over South Carolina. I thought that game would at least be competitive. South Carolina was pathetic. I guess
okay,
Alabama Oklahoma was close. I don't know.
Listen, hold on. Muschamp's bad.
Oh yeah. Do people think he's good?
I mean,
he's cheeks.
He's gonna get fired from South Carolina at some point.
Oh yeah.
And he needs to not be a head coach again.
Yep.
This is just the thing. I love Muschamp. He's an awesome dude.
Oh, is he?
He can make you run through a wall, but I did this when he was the head coach of Florida, and I'm watching it happen in South Carolina. Yeah. He's just not a head coach. He
that
can't
team,
put it all together.
That team, nah, they should be way better than 7-6.
You had 3.5 weeks. Really, I think it might have been like 4.5 weeks. To score 0 points against Virginia. I get it. Juwan Thornhill, Bryce Hall, they're good. You scored zero.
You just got too much talent, man. I mean, they're out here running for what? Doddle had 21 yards? I mean, I've seen these backs. They've got good
terrible,
backs. They've
man.
Got they've got three guys on that offensive line that are gonna be in NFL, they're gonna get NFL looks. Like you got to make more out of that talent. Shai Smith, Brian Edwards, I know Debo didn't play in this game, but you still got two receivers that have top 100 type potential. Your quarterback's supposed to be a big deal. I know he's horrible, but who are we blaming for that? At what point does that come back on the
he's
coaching
staff? He's
supposed
to be a big deal. I know he's horrible, but it's like Ryan Finley yesterday in the bowl game when NC State got blown out by Texas A&M.
What a joke.
They just start the broadcast and they're like, "Now this Ryan Finley kid, you know, he decided to play in the last bowl game. He's a special kid. Yeah, he decided to play in the bowl game because he sucks.
Yeah, he's trying to get drafted.
If Ryan Finley was good, he wouldn't have been playing in the bowl game. All right, let's make that real clear right off the bat.
I love they pulled up Kuiper's graphic and they were like, look at his top five quarterbacks here. This is an illustrious group to be a part of. And it's like, he's one spot over Jarrett Stidham. I'm like, all right,
It's like Drew Lock, Jarrett Stidham, Matt Leinart for some reason, Brady Quinn still in there. And then you got Ryan Finley rounding it out at five.
What a great group to be a part of. Got to just be proud of them. Just behind
real
two
crop.
All-time NFL bus.
Real crop. Mike great Mayock, your thoughts. Sorry.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah, you want to talk about that really quick?
Okay, let's sidebar. Really why not? It's 2019. Right. We'll do what we want.
Sure.
Wow.
What do you think? Okay, when you read the news,
I just
initial thoughts.
My first thought was that I like Mayock, and I think he has the demeanor to be the head guy in an NFL, like just like to take charge, the ability to, like, I think, inspire the people around him, but also find talent and like do the things that need to be done. I think from a work perspective, but also from a managing people perspective. And yeah, he can be a little rough around the edges at some points, but like I kind of that edge, you know, I think you have to have a little bit of that in this business. And so I'm, you know, that part of it, I'm not worried about. The marriage with the Raiders is really the biggest part I'm worried about. Like, how do you deal with an egomaniac, you know, a head coach, and how does that work out? I think, you know, that's part that we'll have to probably watch closely at the very least. And then the part that people don't like to talk about, you know, I love everybody on Twitter. Mayock's a great evaluator, talent. He'll be great. Now, just because you heard of the guy and you watched him on TV and you stood by him at Senior Bowl practice and you feel like you're close to him, doesn't mean he's going to be a good GM of an NFL team. I hate to break it to you, fellas. Like, I hope he is. Like, I definitely hope he is. But the perspective that people offer sometimes on Mayock's going to be great in this, great hire. He's going to be great, great in that role. How do you know? Like, you don't know how he manages the salary cap. You don't know how he deals with players that want extensions. You don't know how he deals with holdouts. Like, you don't know how he deals with personnel people in the building. You don't know how he deals with a coach that's underachieving. You don't know any of that stuff. Like, none of us do. So, you know, I just get a kick out of these people. Like, he'll be phenomenal in that hiring. Like, you know, we have no idea. There's so many components, you know, and I think it's at least fair to sit back and, from an unbiased perspective, look and say, you know, love Mayock. I think he definitely can evaluate talent in the draft. Free agency, cap management, you know, money, that kind of stuff. Like, I got no clue, man. Like, we're totally in the dark. We'll see how he does. But, like, I'm certainly not going to sit up here and say, we'll kill it.
And a lot of times GMs have a lot of those guys around them to help them handle, you know, the outside stuff of general manager duties. Like, sometimes you do have a cap guy and you have other people on your staff, obviously, that you surround yourself with. And Mayock, you know, we're going to crack our jokes over the next couple of months about Mayock becoming a GM, just because it is funny when anytime a draft guy ends up hitting it big and getting a GM job. I know Louis Riddick has been talked about as a GM over the last couple of years, actually. And so it's not like this is totally out of left field for these broadcast guys to go straight to GM as an idea, although this is the first, or at least this is, seems like the biggest one that's happened. But I got to say, you know, you and I rip on the NFL all the time for just recycling the same kind of bad guys. So look, man, you know, just why not, I guess? You're in a situation where Jon Gruden's got 10 freaking years, whether you win or you lose. Mayock, like you said, there are a lot of things that you could watch him over his broadcast over the years. Probably have gotten to know him well. Him and John have probably gotten to know each other well, being at these different broadcast events over the last couple of years. And so they probably have a good friendship with one another. You hope that chemistry in there. And that's really what it's all about, man. You just got to have, I'm noticing that, you just got to have chemistry from the top down.
That's true.
Like, even if, you know, you or I might look at some picks or some fits with guys, maybe some coaching staff choices, and go, okay, well, I wouldn't do that here and there. As long as it's uniform from top to bottom, you give yourself a chance to have a good organization to compete, because we know crazy things happen in the NFL all the time, and the league flips from good to bad real quickly. So you could have a good splash year anytime, as long as the communication and that goal and that mission on how you're going to build your team from the top down is aligning. And so that's, I think, I guess, the interesting point with me. Mayock, it's funny. Like I said, we're going to crack our jokes about it, but you know, if as long as they're on the same page, I'm excited to see how it pans out. I really am.
Oh, I
Because
do. Yeah.
especially for draft guys like us, right? I mean,
Right.
this is a draft guy who, and I know Mayock's been in it for a long time and he's on NFL Network and he's got a big name and everything like this, but this is a draft guy who just got an NFL GM job.
Right. No front
crazy.
Office experience whatsoever.
You know?
It's crazy. And even like we kind of were talking earlier and comparing it, like, in some ways similar to John Lynch, but John Lynch was at least like a player in the NFL. You know what I mean? His name was like kind
yeah,
of
right.
established in the league. Guy was well thought. Mayock, I think he was in an NFL camp, right? But I don't remember if he actually, I mean, obviously there's, either way, even if he played a little bit, there's no like profile for Mike Mayock in the NFL. Like, no one remembers him from playing in the NFL. He has literally just made his way through the media to an NFL front office. I mean, the highest NFL front office. So
he played for your Pittsburgh Steelers in 1981 for 1 year.
Did he make it in a game, or I think he was like
practice squad member
that's
only.
That's what I thought.
And
okay.
then he played for the New York Football Giants from 1982 to 1983. What a 2 years that was.
There it is. I don't know. Did he ever record a stat? Do you have that? You're pulling out information here. Giving the people what they want.
Oh, please.
Wow. Look at you. 2019, you're the whiz kid.
All right. Pro Football Reference. Mike Mayock. Michael Francis Mayock Jr.
His name's Francis?
Middle name's Francis.
Completely calling him Frankie all the time. Frankie Mayock. Love it.
DB. 6'2", 195. He was Richard Sherman before Richard Sherman was
Richard
Sherman.
Little Mel Blunt action right there. I like it. You know? Okay, all right.
Played in 9 total games in his NFL career, all with the Giants.
He'd thrive in today's NFL.
And had 1 kick return for 9 yards.
Okay. Hey, listen, I've been watching Steelers special teams for years.
That's
I'd take 1 kick return or 1 punt return for 9 yards, whatever it was.
Did not play a regular season snap.
All right, okay. All right, I can respect it. He probably wasn't the return guy, huh? Probably like an up back or something.
He was selected in the 10th round.
Wow. Wouldn't even have counted in today's NFL. That's probably why he got into it.
From undrafted to the front office, Frankie Mayock.
Really impressive stuff. Big Frank. Big Frank. We only call him Big Frank if they get something done there. Then we'll change it. We'll dub him Big Frank. All right, should we talk about other NFL GMs that were retained? Or are we going back to football?
We're on the GM topic. I guess we can. It's a hot. All right. People are talking about carousel stuff, so why not?
Let's talk about Jason Light. I know we kind of differ on this one. You're obviously close to that situation, so you see more than I do. From my perspective, I just thought, man, too many misses like in the draft, and I don't want to judge this year's draft, but Ronald Jones and MJ Stewart were inordinately bad for rookies, and obviously, sure. He's had the question marks with VH3 and Noah Spence and some of the free agent signings this year, and just feels like he's had a while and not really fixed anything, and Dirk Cutter retiring and the Aguayo thing, and just feels like a lot, man. I just don't know. It feels like they need that change at this time because they're going to have a new head coach, and it would just make sense for that. Now if they don't get better next year, you know, say they what were they this year? 5-11, 6-10?
5-11.
Yeah. Okay, so say they're 5-11 or 6-10 next year. Do you keep them? You know, like if they have the same record, but they obviously have to keep the new head coach. You'd say most of the time. So
yeah, it just feels that weird. Part of it's a little bit of an awkward timing, but everything else around it, I actually understand. Jason Light has certainly had his misses, and like he will even say like I've had my misses as a GM. But he's also obviously had the guys that he signed in free agency and in the draft that have worked out, Ali Marpet, Quan Alexander, signing guys like Cam Brate, getting Adam Humphries, you know, just like little stuff like that. Obviously picking guys like James Winston at the top and then Mike Evans, kind of filling out that roster there. And the thing with Jason Light where there is really a case on both sides. Like I understand completely where you're coming from, where you really doubt him. And I understand people who are like, no, you just give him – one more, I get this coin, but I think for me, and knowing the situation personally, is that Jason Light seriously cares about the Buccaneers organization, and he cares about winning. And I noticed that a lot of GMs around the league are either concerned more about just like the fact that they made it as a GM, that it's their way or the highway, nothing else, like. That they're stubborn with their picks.
So you feel
they
like
don't
he can
really
change.
Care. He has shown that like when he makes a mistake, like when he signs a Michael Johnson or an Anthony Collins or a something like that, or Roberto Aguayo even right off the bat, he will move on from it if it doesn't work. And he did that within 1 year of each of those guys, each of his big failures. He goes, look, if you don't work, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of it. I'm not sticking around for a miss because of my pride. Sure. He actually really does. I think care about the job, care about the organization and things like that. And so that's why I agree with giving him one more year, because I will say this too. He brought a lot of really decent players, even guys that didn't pan out, to that coaching staff that should have panned out, that the coaching staff was just that bad. I'll tell you a little bit of an off the record ish thing. I'll try to be careful with this here, but like
off example, the record, he says as they go live.
like live, for example, Melvin Gordon when he was a free agent.
Wait, Melvin
there
Gordon?
Was no, sorry, Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram okay, when he was a free agent, and when the Buccaneers desperately needed pass rushers, there was a member of the Buccaneers coaching staff that did not want Melvin Ingram on the Buccaneers just because he, quote unquote, was not big enough. What? And this is when the Buccaneers finished dead last in the NFL in sacks.
Yeah.
And this is coming from the coaching staff.
Wow.
So, like,
so that there kind are multiple of other instances.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's multiple other instances of this where, like, they would bring someone in or not even bring somebody in, just bring somebody to the table, like an mm-hmm. idea to the table.
And it would get shot down.
And the coaching staff would be like, no, I don't want that guy. And he'd be like,
So there was no cohesiveness there, really.
No, and no, none of it. So that is why I say, look, I agree with giving him one more year. I think he's married to Jameis Winston. And if Jameis goes next year, so does Jason Light, because that means they won't have done well. But yeah, that's why. Okay. There you go.
All right. All right. Fair enough. We'll see how it unfolds. I got my doubts, but we'll see how it all unfolds. I feel like John Elway's obviously not going anywhere, but that's
gotta
be
funny.
Warm, right?
John Elway is funny because he goes, you know, it fully falls on my shoulders.
Right.
And he's the only guy not getting fired.
Yeah, well, right. Like, and I like, so it's hard too because I think in my mind, I'm like, well, that you fire yourself. But then I'm like, man, would I fire myself? Like,
no, hell you know, no. So, right, no. So
it's like, I don't want to be too hard on him. But at the same time, he's got to be like his seat's got to be warm. And I know everybody's like, oh, he just won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, four years ago.
It's okay. So tough. It's going to be so tough for them to move on from him, though.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be.
He's a legend.
They're going to spin their wheels there for a while. He's really going to have to. They're going to have to go like 0-16, Hugh Jackson stuff. He's going to get another head coach and another quarterback in 2 or 3 years there. And I think it's a long haul thing unless they really like burn out hard or something like that. And Maccagnan staying with the Jets. I'll be honest. I was kind of surprised by that. I don't even think he's done a horrible job in the draft. I know he hasn't done, you know, every aspect of his job probably as well as they would have liked, but. I mean, you got up in position to get Darnold. I mean, you can argue, we'll argue for years whether it was the right quarterback or not. We'll see. You know, year one was promise. I mean, it's good. A rookie, you know, whatever. I mean, he wasn't good, but you'll take it for a rookie for sure, I think. So I think that's how you got to look at it. Maccagnan and Darnold kind of married at this point, and I feel like you're kind of proceeding with that in mind. Nothing changing in Washington. Did that surprise you? I thought we might be in a position where we're going to see some changes finally.
No, because when your starting quarterback gets hurt, it really is just a get out of jail free card. It really is.
Yeah.
I'm noticing that around the league because Cutter almost had that in Tampa Bay when Jameis was suspended for just 3 games. Mm-hmm. It was almost like if they would have even had a halfway decent year this year, like if the Bucs would have even went 7-9. He could have potentially – now, it didn't really work out this way because Ryan Fitzpatrick balled out in the first 2 games. But he could have been able to point to that and been like, I didn't have much franchise quarterback.
Right.
And you can literally buy an entire another year of being a coach or a GM just because of that. And that's kind of what happened in Washington. So I'm not really surprised, yeah. Although I don't really have a lot of faith in them moving forward that they're going to take the next step for the organization. I understand why they're not fired. I got that.
This whole Adam Gase thing, too, you know, like he gets let go. He kind of like forced his way out, kind of like he was like demanded it. Well, he like wanted control of the team, and they were like, dude, you can't even coach. We're not going to do that. So you can't even make Ryan Tannehill better at all during your time here. So,
and all the players like hated him.
Well,
so.
Jarvis Landry like tweeted laughing emoji. Yeah, there's just something.
And so did Andre
there.
Branch. And
so
like,
immediately, what does the NFL do, right? Because it matters, right? Whether your players like your coach or not, what do they do immediately? Every single team, I think, reached out to him that has an opening.
Yeah.
They all want to bring him in for an interview. I'm sorry. Show me a quarterback that Adam Gase made better. And it's like this quarterback whisperer thing, you know?
Coached Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Get out of here.
But he coached Peyton Manning, John.
They already have said, too, that Peyton Manning would call his own stuff on the field.
Peyton Manning coached himself. Yeah. Nobody's coaching Peyton Manning from, like, what do we want to say? Like, from 2006.
Hey, you remember the old Tom Moore quote? When he was Peyton Manning's OC, they asked him why they didn't get Jim Sorgi more reps in practice. He said, because if 18 goes down, we're aft, and we don't practice aft. All-time GOAT quote.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Tom Moore, baby.
That is incredible. Wow.
I love the honesty. Most coaches be like,
18 goes down, we're aft, and we don't practice aft.
Classic Tom Moore. But yeah, no, I thought, I don't know, man, I'll be out if the Browns decide to go with an Adam Gase decision, I'm sorry, can't do it. How about this Arizona reporter the other night saying the Browns plan to make Mike McCarthy their next head coach?
Yeah, and then immediately afterwards, he said also spicy mustard goes well on a hot pretzel from the stadium.
Does this guy take his job seriously at all? And then people were questioning him about it. He's like, it's not a report. It's just what I'm hearing. I'm like, you're a reporter. So if you're reporting what you're hearing, it's called a report, bud. So he basically just, I mean, there's nothing official, obviously. They've already said they're bringing in like multiple interviews. So he's definitely wrong. You know, they've reached out to like 10 people today for interviews. So, I mean, their coaching search is going to be as extensive as any. I mean, legitimately, probably 10 names was on the table after yesterday. So, yeah, I was like, what are you doing, man? Like, who hires these people?
Okay, so there's a lot of coaches who are available right now that, you know, have been fired for various reasons that we kind of criticize getting job offers. But are there any out there that you like that could – I don't know, maybe like break the cycle, like be an interesting name, like giving a guy a shot, something like that.
A guy that hasn't been head coach before, you mean?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, mainly.
Yeah, I'm interested in Eric Bieniemy, and I have a hard time, and people who've listened to the pod and follow me on Twitter, you know my stance on saying whether a guy will be a good head coach or not. There are so many variables to being a good head coach that I cannot see or have any perspective on. I just comment when I can see. Like, it was like when Hugh Jackson went to the Browns. I had no idea that he would be a maniac, you know, an egotistical nutcase when he was there. Like, I didn't see any of that stuff. All I knew was he did a lot of cool things with the Bengals offense and got the most out of a unit that I thought wasn't that great and a quarterback that wasn't that great. And I was like, that's going to be awesome. And that didn't happen at all, and largely because of the other stuff. But, you know, I thought that I want to see Eric Bieniemy get a shot. Yeah, I mean, the Andy Reid tree has been unbelievable. Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy are already probably two of the top, you know, eight coaches in the NFL. They're tremendous, and I think that can just continue to. I'm going to like to see. You know, I'd like to ride that train until it stops. You're always taking a chance with these guys, man. Like, you know, you recycle an old coach that has clear issues you most of the time, or you're taking a chance with a new guy. I like the track record with the new guys recently, and a lot of those guys have come from the Reed tree. So
sure,
yeah, I'm totally down with that. You know, he's been around that offense, you know, best offense in the NFL, and I think that he's going to take a lot of those principles with him. So I mean, if I'm Arizona, if I'm the Jets, I'm definitely looking into that. And then the Colts guys, you know, I know Matt Campbell turned down a Jets offer, and I don't know a whole lot like about whether. I don't know a whole lot about Iowa State, but I just feel like there's some energy there. There's some ideas there. You know, I think players really love and respond to those guys well. And he's obviously done some really good things with, I think, I know they had some NFL talent this year, but he helped get a lot of those guys to where they're at in that program and get a lot of those guys there. So, yeah, I'd be excited about something like that too. But those are probably the main guys. I had a couple other names too that were intriguing to me, I think. But those were probably the names to really jump. What about you?
I think Todd Monken does get a shot at head coach. I really do. So he called plays for the first time in the NFL this year. I really don't know how much he was chained by Cutter, because those first two games, week one and week two, Monken's game plan was unbelievable. I mean, he made the Saints and the Eagles defense look absolutely helpless just by the plays he was calling. And then the Steelers game happens. They get a couple unlucky turnovers. They lose the game. And then all of a sudden, they have this weird emphasis to run the ball in super weird situations for the entire rest of the season. And that is a dirt Cutter thing. And so I know that Monken really does like Cutter, but I just wonder how much he was chaining him as a play caller from that moment on. And so I've talked to Monken. He's a no BS guy. He's the kind of guy where you have a conversation with him, he really reels you in. I think he could kill an interview process. I know the Jets reached out for him to be allowed to interview with them for their head coaching position. I think he's going to kill it in the interview process, and he really might get a chance to be a head coach. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by him too, actually. I have no idea. I've never even seen him in an interview or anything like that. I have no idea what his personality's like, but I did think, you know, I watched a little bit of Bucs games here and there, obviously the Steelers game, and I think he did some really good things with without great quarterback play. You know, I mean, like, there were moments for, it wasn't like Winston and Fitzpatrick were horrible, but, you know, they definitely had good moments, but I felt like he got the most out of them. So, yeah, I would be very, very intrigued by seeing him get an offer. You know, to me, that's where it's at. I mean, look at most of the coaches that got canned. Most of them are defensive guys. It's just my priority is getting an offensive guy to go with your coach. Now, maybe that happens in the form of an OC, but most places around the league nowadays, we mentioned Nagy, we mentioned Peterson, we mentioned McVay. You know, they're offensive guys that are, you know, Sean Payton, obviously, offensive guys coming alongside quarterbacks and making them the best they can be. And so, Brian Daboll, absolutely, I think he should get interviews. You're just based on that criteria. I have no idea, you know, the rest of the stuff or demeanor-wise. I would like to see Freddie Kitchens get a shot. You know, you got to get those guys in position, I think. Freddie Kitchens should at least be an OC. He's got to be an OC in 2000.
What do you think about Vic Fangio?
I like Vic Fangio a lot, but it's hard to tell whether some guy – it's kind of my opinion on Mike Munchak, you know. Awesome coordinators / you know, positional coaches, whatever you want to refer to him as. But, like, Mike Munchak probably isn't going to come in and call plays, I wouldn't think. So then you got to get a great OC, too, and you already – you know, and obviously you need a defensive coordinator, so – I just don't know whether he's a great option as a head coach for a team, you know, and he may bring some, maybe that happens, you know, maybe you get, you know, John Harbaugh's, you know, sure, he's gone through some OCs, no doubt about that, but when he finds a good one like this year, you know, good things can happen. And so, I mean, it's trickier, I think, if you make it happen.
It's so Fangio for me is weird because Fangio has been in the NFL since 1986 and he's never had a head coach job.
Right.
So, like, he's been a D coordinator for basically, I mean, most of the time, and he's bounced around the league. And so, obviously, being in the NFL that long, you got to be doing something right. And obviously, the Bears defense has been incredible this season. But, like, there's at least six to eight head coaching vacancies a year. And this guy's never been an NFL head coach, and he's been in the league since 1986.
Right.
I just don't know if him at 61 years old is like going to be you're hitting the home run with this head coach that no one else found for the last, 30 years.
And that's my thing with Bruce Arians in some ways too. It's like, okay, I know the Bucs are interested, and so you probably have thoughts.
But Arians
too,
had success.
Right. But the age thing you were talking about, you know, Arians already having retired and talked about how he, you know.
Sure.
It's
right.
What's in 2 years? Probably gonna retire again. Like, it's just hard to see him.
I don't think Arians would come back if he didn't think that he had at least 3 years in him. But I do think it's probably a 3 to 4 year being realistic, him being a head coach. But for the Bucks, I think that kind of makes sense because they literally have not had anybody who has any idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, like, to get him in there even for 3 years, just to know what you're freaking doing. Would mean a lot to the Buccaneers and probably a couple of other places in the NFL too. But you're right. It does get weird when you look at him and he's 66 years old and it's like, okay, I mean, even if this guy has success for us, like even if we say the window is 3 years, what are you going to leave us after the third year window? Like there's no easing out of it. There's no continuing the dynasty. So there are positives and negatives for even some of the alluring guys out there.
Right, yeah. It'll be fascinating. I just think there's more intrigue with this every year, and how to build a team has kind of really become a hot topic, where in the past I feel like we just didn't even talk about this kind of stuff. Now it's like, man, everybody's got an opinion. You know, they want to see kind of like, okay, what quarterback gets matched up with what OC? How's that pairing going to go? You know, disastrous results basically with Sam Darnold and Josh, especially Josh Rosen this year. Really good results with Josh Allen and Brian Daboll in that marriage and encouraging moving forward. Now you have something in Freddie Kitchens with Cleveland. I'd be really hesitant to give that up, which is why I think he should get a lot of consideration for the head coaching job there too, just because that connection I think is so big that if you can put other guys around the head coach, you know, to be able to do some things to complement him, keeping that in place is so key. I think if you look at successful teams around the NFL, that's the common thread right now, I think. And so I would be prioritizing that in a lot of ways. So, you know, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fun to watch, fun to see unfold as well. Tomorrow we'll probably discuss and kind of unwrap more of these bowl games that we didn't get to today. We'll have all of them to talk about at that point. So that'll be interesting as well. So as always, thank you guys so much for listening. Happy New Year to y'all. thanks for a great year and excited for another great year and an awesome draft season as well. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.